know, you have to always have confidence. Some good football snaps there in the second half.
Touchdown, Allen! Welcome, Butler. Scouting service says most in my cornerback in the NFL. Is he doing
anything? A lot to me.
Dale Arnold.
Yeah, Mike's got a lot of great qualities.
You know, Bill was my coach. You know, he traded me to Kansas City.
Great leadership.
Guys suck.
We have to do everything we can to try to beat the Patriots.
Rich Keefe.
I didn't think you'd get the whole ass.
I got it. Come on. Not today, Dale.
Dale and Keefe. Middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI, as you just heard during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Moments ago, Celtics play tonight, Bruins play tonight, Celtics are in Phoenix. I feel actually a little queasy about this one because I've heard Keefe say four times now today they're the worst team in the Western Conference.
Worst team in the West.
Makes me nervous.
They're apparently on this list. And I put in quotes of teams that want Terry Rozier.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because yesterday Bill Simmons tweeted out that he had been hearing that Rozier was unhappy with his playing time. Other teams in the NBA know it, so they're not likely to, you know, give Danny Ainge a whole lot in exchange for him, but that the Celtics may be in a mood to just trade Rozier out of here, trade the problem child away. Ainge was on the station across the street earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you said he kind of poo-pooed the whole idea.
He really did. He said it's news to him. He doesn't know where it came from. Now, he understands that Terry Rozier wants more minutes. He's like, who wouldn't? Like, he obviously wants more minutes. And he went from being a starter with elevated minutes. In fact, he averaged more minutes than anybody in their postseason run last year. Obviously, no Kyrie Irving. Marcus Smart missed four of the, whatever, I think 19 games that they played in the playoffs. So Rozier was on the court all the time. And so now, you're automatically going to play less than that this year no matter what. Even as a starter, you're going to play less than that. But now he's also playing about 3 minutes less than even he did in the regular season. So he's a little frustrated with that. But the idea that he wants to be traded or that all these teams are calling the Celtics, Danny Ainge said, not true. Now, again, GMs, I don't know if they're always the most truthful with you, and there are certain things they can and can't say.
I'll say this, and I've said this about Ainge in the past. He will absolutely skirt the truth at times. You know, there are things, as you said, you can say, you can't say. I will tell you, just based on, you know, listening to Danny through the years and talking to Danny through the years, I don't believe he would flat out lie. Now, he would, you know, skirt the truth. And what I don't think he'd do is say, I haven't talked to anybody about Terry Rozier. You know, and he took a call yesterday from a GM.
Yeah, and you know,
I don't think he'd lie about it.
You know what I found was interesting is Ainge said that he has not taken a call or he's not talked about a Terry Rozier trade since the season started. So I heard that meaning, okay, that means this offseason he probably did get calls. It was probably and teams looked at the situation.
Well, they're
here.
Saying, well, they got Kyrie back. I mean,
right. And Rozier had been saying the right things. He knows Kyrie Irving's the starter on this team, and he wants to play. He wants to do everything. But that was one thing that we pointed out yesterday. Is 10 games really that eye-opening to him? Like, didn't he kind of know this is how the year was going to play out? Now, maybe he was hoping he was going to play a little bit better or maybe a couple more minutes here or there. But he is not the starting point guard. And if you're ranking the important guys on the team, he's 7th or 8th. He may be 8th. Right, but the team is good. It's deep, so it's not 8th on the Suns. Like, he'd be one of the better players on the Suns. But I could see why he's frustrated. But also, nothing has really changed. It's not like he's been, has seen his playing time completely slashed. He's playing about 23 minutes a night. He has to make the most of it. He's a restricted free agent this summer, so you could tell you know why he's wants to play more. But it doesn't sound like teams are lining up and they're calling Danny Ainge and they think they can get him for a song.
Well, let's also not bury the lead, because the other thing that you heard Danny say was that he would have done what Kyrie did.
I love that
when
part.
He was 26.
Yeah, he did. Well, Danny Ainge, the player, of course he would have.
Yeah,
I mean, he was
bit of a hothead.
He was not well liked by opposing teams. Let's say that. And so, yeah, that was interesting. So Terry Rozier stuff was, you know, probably the key to that, what he was talking about today, but asked about Kyrie Irving, and he said, yeah, you know, and also he kind of took a couple shots at Jamal Murray too, saying like, that's sort of a cheap way in order to get 50 points. And he's saying, I'm not going to hold that against the guy for his, you know, the rest of his career. He's 21 years old. He's trying to get 50 points, but that might've been a little bit of a learning experience for Jamal Murray.
Did he, and obviously it wasn't the focus of what he was going to say today. Yeah. Did he acknowledge that he could at least understand why a 21-year-old kid would like to score 50 points?
No,
I wasn't going there.
No,
huh?
Not really. No. I think he was definitely on the side of Kyrie Irving. And he said, you know, if it was a scrimmage against, you know, his own teammates and somebody pulled that off, they would be upset about it. So like, that's just not...
See, to me, that's different, though.
Well, but, in a game, I think, and again, going back to it, he was frustrated with, they had an 18-point lead, they blew it, they should have won in Denver, they didn't, and then at the very end, it's an 8-point game, and Jamal Murray's taking a 3 with no defense around him. He was upset, and so Danny was saying, he's like, yeah, I wouldn't do that now as a 59-year-old man, but as a...
When he was 20-something,
yeah, I would have. So I don't think he blames Kyrie at all for that.
So it didn't sound like... based on your listening to it, that he was in any mood to trade away Terry Rozier.
I like this group of guys. We're not looking to make changes.
Yeah, I think they're right now anyway. And cause I mean, how many trades happen in November in basketball?
Almost never.
You know, I mean, teams want to see
like
what
baseball
they have.
Teams making a trade in April or something.
Yeah, it's very rare. So I think they're going to wait and, you know, if you get, especially if you get 2 or 3 months into the season, also let's see how the team is clicking. Let's see how the team is gelling. Like, are they as good as they're supposed to be, or do they even need to make sort of a move and do something? And if you have a guy who's unhappy, how unhappy is he? Is he really submarining things? Like, there's so much that goes into it.
Has
right
anybody
now,
talked to Rozier in the last 24, 48 hours since this all came out? Now, obviously, there's a time change there, so I don't know when their shoot around is, but.
The only thing I've seen from Terry Rozier was there was a tweet that came out, Puma basketball. It looks like they have 5 guys, and DeMarcus Cousins is one of them. It's DeMarcus Cousins. It's like 3 rookies. I think DeAndre Ayton, who's the number 1 pick who you'll see tonight, Marvin Bagley, I think Kevin Knox, and Rozier. It's like a random group, but so he was on a picture of that. So that might be another thing where he probably, him and his agent are saying, listen, like if I'm going to be one of a select group representing, you know, Puma, like I got to get out there. I can't be the 8th man on a team. So his contract is a big part of it, but just his marketability, I'm sure all that stuff is a factor for him.
Now, as we pointed out, it's only 3 minutes a game less than what he was averaging last year. But when those 3 minutes are occurring, I mean, he's not starting. He's not out there in crunch time. It's the quality of the minutes that he's playing that probably bugs him the most, right?
Yeah, and I also don't think he's playing that well. So it's sure he would like to play 33 minutes instead of 23 minutes, but also in those 23 minutes, he's not making the most of it. Whereas a guy like Marcus Morris is playing, what, 25 minutes? Yep. And he's doing really well. He's taking shots. He's making shots. So actually, there is an update here. So Terry Rozier, the Celtics Twitter account, just tweeted this out, a quote from Terry Rozier. If you know me, I'd never be one to complain about playing time. There you go.
That's it?
That's all he said.
I was kind of hoping for a little more.
That's all it is. Now, regarding players and minutes they're getting each night, Brad Stevens says his message is always, quote, play as well as you can while you're in the game. It's fit for a tweet.
That was deep.
Fit for a tweet. Play as well as you can while you're in the game. And yeah, I'm not sure Terry Rozier has played all that well. And I'm sure... Again, maybe it's similar to Malcolm Butler where, all right, here's his opportunity to cash in. Now do you start to put pressure on yourself? We've seen it in every sport. Some guys in a contract year go crazy. They it all comes together for them. They're locked in. They cash in. And then sometimes they go back to being an average player after a great contract year. But there's also the other side of it where you put so much pressure on yourself. Like, I better be really good this year. And then it goes the other way. And then you don't make as much money as you probably should have.
Back to the Danny Ainge comment, and I don't want to go too deeply into this, but Danny, as we all know, is a Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
Mormons don't lie.
Or drink caffeine.
Or that.
Yeah.
I do think that his religious background has something to do with the fact
Maybe.
That he won't lie.
Maybe.
Now, he's got to skirt the truth at times. He's got to... There are things he can't say.
Well, there's also... Right, like you said, there are also times where it just becomes a matter of tampering or it becomes
a matter
of whatever, and so he's not going to be 100% truthful with you, but...
I mean, he for instance, if he had been getting calls on Rozier, instead of, like he said, I haven't talked to anybody about Terry Rozier.
Yeah, because we've also had him on, too, in the past, and he will get into stuff where, you know, I really can't get into that.
Exactly.
And he kind of leaves. And then we take it from there and go, I know what he's saying, but he never said it.
Whereas, I know people don't believe that there are people in sports who don't lie. I think he's a guy who will not lie.
I bet, yeah, he just won't say it. Like, he's not going to flat-out lie to you. And, no, I mean... I believed him. Plus, I don't know how many teams, how many GMs a week into the season are calling other teams, like, hey, is that guy available? Like, come on.
None.
Like, let's let the season play out. Now, I wouldn't be shocked at all if a bunch of teams, including the Phoenix Suns, who are terrible, and some of these other teams like the Orlando Magic that have been kind of thrown out there or speculated on, if they called this offseason and said, hey, Danny, you got a lot of talent there. You know, like, all of a sudden you have maybe more players than can even play. What would you do? What would you give up Terry Rozier for? Whereas Danny's probably thinking, hey, he's Kyrie Irving insurance. You know, Kyrie Irving has missed a lot of time in the course of his entire career. He's coming off of an injury. We're not going to trade away Rozier right now and then, you know, either have Marcus Smart or somebody else having to play point every night. So I think it was smart to keep him. And you remember, they even tried working out a deal. At least that's what the reports were.
Right.
They tried figuring out an extension. And not shocked at all that they didn't. Like, if you're Rozier, why would you do that? Like, you just had a nice playoff run. You're going to try to cash in the best you can. Tough as a restricted free agent at times, but he's going to try to get as much money as possible. And he probably won't. This is probably his last year here, if he makes it through.
Oh, I think
year.
That's very valid. I mean, he's a restricted free agent at the end of the season.
Right. So they do hold some cards. And so if he doesn't get the offers that he thinks, then maybe the Celtics do bring him back. You know, like maybe it just makes financial sense to do that. But with the idea of hopefully Kyrie Irving, you know, he said he wants to. So if he signs a long-term extension, Marcus Smart is locked up. I think Terry Rozier would kind of be the odd man out there.
We mentioned this earlier that for some reason Bill James took it upon himself to just go on a Twitter spree yesterday.
Well, he was obviously upset about like the rain.
Apparently.
Or something.
Well, the Red Sox have put out a statement about Bill James.
Is it he's fired?
No. No, they didn't say
that. Okay.
Here's what the Red Sox... Now, just to back up for people who didn't know, Bill James basically on Twitter was going into this back and forth, and because of the Scott Boras comments and talking about players being, you know, being paid properly, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but what James basically said is, if every player retired right now, within 3 years, we'd be right back
the
where we are.
The game would continue.
It's not the players.
They're very replaceable. Everybody's replaceable is his point. And you know what, Bill? So are you. We have a new senior consultant, and his name is Rich Keefe.
They didn't say that. No. They're thinking it.
Did you read the whole tweet yet?
I'm working on it. Here's what the Red Sox just put out within a few moments. Bill James is a consultant to the Red Sox.
Oh, I thought I was going to say was.
He is not an employee, nor does he speak for the club.
Hmm.
His comments on Twitter were inappropriate and do not reflect the opinions of the Red Sox front office or its ownership group.
Hmm.
Our championships would not have been possible without our incredibly talented players. They are the backbone of our franchise and our industry. To insinuate otherwise is absurd.
Oh, they had to slap Bill James
they
on the wrist here.
They just cuffed him around.
Smack him around on Twitter. Oh, Bill.
Now, I mentioned to you guys earlier that, you know, with basically Bill James saying, it wouldn't have mattered to anybody.
I mean, they won the World Series a week ago, Bill. Let's try to enjoy it a little bit.
So Justin Verlander tweeted out earlier today.
Yeah.
He said, wonder if the Red Sox win the World Series with a replacement player for Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez or David Price or Bogarts or Jackie Bradley or Chris Sale or Rick Porcello or Andrew Benintendi or Devers or Kimbrell or
Right. He named the 25-man roster.
And what he's basically saying is, you know, Bill James says all baseball players are replaceable, and Justin Verlander's saying, really?
Is that the guy you want consulting you?
Well.
So Bill James, like that. So what is his job exactly? You can call me dumb here to this. What does he do?
I made baseball as much fun as doing your taxes.
He thinks so. I don't understand what he really does. And if it has anything to do with trying to identify good players, I think that statement alone proves that he might be in a little over his head now.
He is called a senior advisor on baseball operations for the Red Sox.
What is that? Anything?
Now the Red Sox went out of their way in their statement today to say he's not a team employee.
Not an employee.
But
I don't know. He's got it on his LinkedIn. He's able to write Red Sox on the old resume.
So at one point on Twitter, a guy from CBS Sports said to Bill, what about the players who are drastically underpaid for most of their careers slash primes? To which James responded, my heart bleeds for them.
Oh, my God. This guy's cold-blooded, isn't he?
He then went on to say, and I
quote, so cold.
If the players all retired tomorrow, we would replace them. The game would go on.
Oh,
in 3 years, it would make no difference whatsoever. The players are not the game any more than the beer vendors are.
Well, first of all, I love the beer vendors. So shout out to the beer vendors. Those guys do. Sometimes they really do make the game. But to suggest that you could just take out all the players and the game would be fine, like, that's so wrong. That's so wrong.
On the Red Sox website, Bill James is listed in all the front office, in the front office directory, as the senior advisor to baseball operations.
He's on the website. He is an employee. Does he get paid by the Red Sox?
I assume he
or
must
is he volunteering?
No, I'm guessing yeah. He draws a paycheck.
Okay, then he is not an employee.
And
get him out of town. Yeah, see ya, bye.
And the Red Sox statement moments ago said, Bill James is a consultant to the Red Sox. He is not an employee, nor does he speak for the club.
So he just does it for free?
How about
he's an employee.
How about our championships would not have been possible without our incredibly talented players?
Yeah, I would
They are
agree.
The backbone of our franchise and our industry. To insinuate otherwise is absurd.
Well, now, I mean, if Bill wants
By the
to
way,
say...
Jackie Bradley Jr. retweeted the Justin Verlander tweet
yeah.
and put the little emoji eyes on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Now, if every team had scabs, maybe the Red Sox could still win. But then those scabs would be better than the other scabs. It's just, but the game wouldn't be as good. Think about it. Like, take any sport, like the minor league. It's the minor league for a reason, and you can enjoy that all you want. But it's just different, and you can tell the difference. Like, go watch, when the XFL comes in next year, or was it the AAF? Watch those and be like, "See you later, NFL. We found our replacement." Nope. Go watch AAA or AA. It's not the same.
Here's what my guess is. My guess is Dave Dombrowski went to John Henry and said, I'm going to start negotiating with some of these guys. Why are we going out of our way to alienate them and basically say they're all replaceable? You know, I want to convince Mookie Betts we want him here for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how many of the players, like, how hands-on is Bill James? Like, do the players even, like, know him?
No,
like,
but they certainly saw these remarks. They've been everywhere.
Yeah, and so now, you're right, it's just more of a pain. So now Dombrowski has to say, listen.
Come on, give me a break
here. I don't know what that old quack was talking about. We value you, and so when they try to sign Eovaldi or Pierce or whoever, they're going to tell, hey, you matter. Every person matters. We're all unique. We're all different. Snowflakes.
Brock, you don't matter quite as much as Xander. But you matter.
No, not even close. But yeah, you just rip a guy. No, you save that for arbitration. That's where you rip a guy.
You know, you couldn't think you matter as much as Mookie Betts does for
maybe,
crying
maybe
out
Bill
loud.
James, he's the guy he's so used
Sent
to handling.
To arbitration?
He handles all the arbitration cases. Like, you really weren't that good. I mean, we could replace you. I'm like, okay, Bill.
The fact that the Red Sox
they had to issue a statement
felt compelled to put out a statement where basically they slapped both wrists.
Yeah, like, Bill, don't do that again. Bill,
the press release from 2002 when Bill James joined the Red Sox.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me stop you right there. Bill James has been with the Red Sox since 2002.
When John Henry came on board.
Oh, my God.
It is
God.
Titled Red Sox Hire James in Advisory Capacity.
Hired. Red Sox
That sounds like an employee.
Does he get a
to
check
me.
With the Red Sox logo on it?
It sounds like it to me.
Sounds like an employee. Their second line in the thing is, he is not an employee. He is. He is. He works
well,
for
depends.
You. He works
how,
for the team.
How big a check does he get?
Doesn't matter. As if it's a dollar, he's paid by the
well,
Red
Well, that's
Sox.
My check here, but I mean, I don't know what
well,
his
you're
check.
Paid
yeah.
by Intercom.
Yeah. I don't know
that's
what
kind of works.
They don't like this at all.
No, this is embarrassing. And what does he do exactly? I don't get it. I want to see his meeting with the Bobs. What is it you say, Bill, you do here? I'm a people person. Can't you see that?
Do you think he had a glass or two of red wine during the course of
he
the tweet fest yesterday?
He could have been celebrating with some wine.
Yeah,
still,
no,
still hung over from the World Series, perhaps? Could
wow.
be. Yeah, it's a little silly to say that, Bill.
So the question is, why did they keep him?
No
why
idea.
Did they just slap him around? Why didn't they just say, you know, Bill... You're not really an employee anyway, so.
Well, maybe it's sort of like, hey, we're not going to fire him for those comments, but like a month is going to go by and he may no longer be a consultant. Like that, like they
he'll
don't
just
want,
he'll just sort of disappear.
Yeah, like maybe they don't want to look petty and be like, we fired him right away, like or so reactionary. And so maybe they wait and maybe he does less consultant work. That'd be my guess.
As somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, Bill James has embarrassed this organization even worse in the past.
Oh, the Paterno stuff, right?
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, boy.
He questioned the validity of Kevin Spacey's sexual assault claim.
Yeah, he was a, I forget all the details of it, but he, I think, defended Joe Paterno at that time, too.
He did. He defended Paterno's complicity in Jerry Sandusky's assault of underage boys, saying, and this is the money quote here.
Yeah, this was something.
It was quite common 40 years ago for grown men to shower with youngsters. This is what Bill James said.
It sounds like a consultant. That's a guy I'd want to lean on when you have a tough question. Like, yeah, you know, Bill, I agree with you on a lot of your other thoughts, but what do you think about our ball club this year?
So
no thanks.
Back when, and this was 2017, a year ago.
Okay.
Back when Bill James became, you know, stuck himself in the middle of the Kevin Spacey claims.
He celebrated his 15th year with the Red Sox, by the way.
Wait. The Red Sox put out a statement.
Oh, my God.
About Bill James.
They're doing multiple Bill James statements?
Wait till you hear this one. Ready?
Yep.
Quote, Bill James is a consultant to the Red Sox. He is not an employee, nor does he speak for the club.
It's the same thing. They're copy and pasting.
His tweet is inappropriate.
Oh,
and we are addressing this with him directly.
Bye. See you later, Bill.
He's cut
pasted Bill.
Their statement about him from a year ago.
We have the Kevin Spacey release. Just take out Kevin Spacey with players and just swap those two things out.
They said the exact same. He wasn't an employee last November.
Oh, my God.
He's not an employee this November.
It's one thing if it was like Dave actually, it wouldn't work if it was Dombrowski. But if it was somebody much higher up and you're like, all right, you just want to, you know, nothing to see here and move along. But when it's somebody like this, it's like, what is the point? Like, we got to release multiple statements and clarify what your role is on the team, which is still not very clear.
What brought about the release from last year?
Yeah.
Which was the same as the one from this year.
Defending Kevin Spacey.
Last year, Bill James posted a poll on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Asking whether Kevin Spacey and other public figures should, quote, have to answer unsubstantiated allegations about what happened 30 years ago, unquote.
So Twitter is this guy's problem.
Poll question is up.
Yeah, right. Get off of Twitter, maybe, Bill. Maybe leave that alone. Do you really need Twitter?
So I go back to what I said before.
Who won the poll, by the way?
I didn't. I'm not even sure if it's still up. But my question here is, if they felt they had to put out a release last year, which basically reads the exact same as the one this year, every November there seems to be a little baseball hangover issue for Bill.
He takes the Twitter and makes his thoughts known. So maybe that's strike two, and maybe we're just waiting for next November when he says something else outrageous.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, why are you protecting Bill James?
So I'm just going to, you know, little hint here for Sam Kennedy and the folks over at the Red Sox.
Yeah, sure. Help him out.
Be prepared next November. There's going to be something. You're going to put out the exact same release about Bill James on.
Oh, my God. Take the password away from him.
617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
This Sunday, the 7-2 Patriots make their way to Tennessee to take on Marcus Mariota and the Titans. Whatever it takes. Patriots. Titans. Coverage gets underway at 9 a.m. as Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky bring you NFL Sunday. Then after the game, it's nonstop analysis on the real postgame show with Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi, and Fred Smirlis. This is your exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday. Sports Radio WEEI.
When it comes to vehicle safety, having poor visibility is a risk that's just not worth taking. Visit your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store during their See Better, Drive Safer sale. You'll find deals on name brand headlights, wiper blades, and everything you need to help you see better. Don't mess around with safety. Make sure you always have a clear view of the road and check out O'Reilly's See Better, Drive Safer sale today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Can we talk about Eamon's musical selections? I mean, we
sure.
Let's talk about it because we talk a little
bit
about. They're awful.
Better than Rossi's.
No, no, this is just as bad.
I have no problem with this.
A little, you don't like Talib Kweli?
Something a little,
I have no problem
a
with
little
this.
More energetic.
I see Keith
up-tempo.
Bobbing his head. Like Dale just
I'm good with this.
Doesn't recognize it. That's okay.
I'm good.
Oh, is that a shot at my age, Eamon? How did you enjoy working that gig in there for the last 3.5 hours?
He's in tomorrow, too.
I don't know.
Coming back for more punishment.
We'll just see. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Jerry's in North Andover. Hey, Jerry.
Good afternoon. So Bill James is like, what, the original stat geek, and maybe he feels he's not getting enough credit or being paid enough as a consultant. It's kind of splitting hairs whether he's an employee or a consultant. He does get paid. But maybe he feels that because it was his analysis that provided Alex Cora with all that data that he could use to make all those brilliant decisions.
Yeah, I don't believe that's true, by the way. That is not what Bill James does. He is not sitting there helping to develop, you know, series by series game plans.
Is that Carmine?
No, they've got a whole baseball operation staff that does that. He's not doing that, I don't think.
He doesn't do that. Well, but doesn't he? Let me ask you this. I mean, in all seriousness, doesn't he make a point that baseball players are wildly overpaid when you have a guy like Mike Trout, certainly a fine ball player, deciding that $300 million is not sufficient?
Oh, Bryce Harper, you mean?
I mean, is that?
But if the money's there, why not? I mean, I don't.
Well, why is the money there? Because hot dogs cost $12 and beers cost.
Right.
You know,
but you're going to the ballpark to watch these guys play. So they.
We're
no.
Going to the ballpark to watch the laundry, basically.
I totally disagree with that,
Jerry.
Well, and I will say this: we're going there to watch the laundry and to watch a team win.
Yeah, but to win, you need great players, and so
yeah,
that's
if
why
I'm wearing
great
the
players,
laundry, you're not winning anything.
Yeah.
But since the players have no, it's not like in the old days when you were on one team forever and ever. The players change all the time. They have no loyalty.
Okay.
And we have no loyalty to them except for the time that they happen to be wearing the laundry.
But it's a huge moneymaker, so these guys are the reason why. I mean, I completely disagree. So if there's just a bunch of players out there, but they had the Red Sox jersey on, you'd watch them. Trust me, you'd be in the minority.
This was certainly not Bill James trying to stick up for the little guy and, you know, damn it, we've got to get prices down for everybody and we're paying these players too much. That's not what he was saying at all. What he was saying is, we get rid of these players, we'll get new players. It doesn't matter. They're replaceable. Now, Dave Dombrowski's trying to convince people to either stay here or come here.
Right.
He's trying to convince players that they matter, that their talents are unique, that we need you.
I mean, we know how the Red Sox feel about it because they had to issue a statement. They had to bring more people did see the Red Sox response to it than Bill James's original tweets.
Oh, God, yes.
So
yes,
now,
yes.
So you're saying, all right, we're going to put this out there. So now people read that and go, man, what did he say? And then now they have to go look up and see what he said. So they were okay with bringing more eyeballs to it just so they could kind of distance themselves and kind of defend the organization. Be like, yeah, it's not us. He doesn't speak for us. We don't agree with that.
In fact, just the opposite. They're really, as we said, it's fairly strongly worded when it's said, in their words now, our championships would not have been possible without our incredibly talented players. They are the backbone of our franchise and our industry. To insinuate otherwise is absurd.
Yeah, they're calling him absurd. But that guy, maybe he's right. Maybe he doesn't care who's playing as long as it's just his team. They're wearing the same hats. But if it's bad, then no thank you. Like, it's not going to make as much money. You can't just swap all these guys out with the next group, like all these quadruple A players. It would not be as good.
Joe's down on the Cape. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
Bill is wrong. I mean, he's a contract worker. He is not a Red Sox employee. He gets his 1099s, and that's where they get the money, and they can separate him from the team. But it's the owners that are really making the $300 million player because they're all greedy. I mean, if you're not worth 300, they can do it. Mookie Betts and all these guys are really good. They're worth a lot of money, but I don't know any one individual that's worth $300 million.
Mookie Betts is.
Maybe
more.
Okay.
I mean,
Mike Trout is.
Joe, we've got to get past the point where, you know, we think that they're paid too much, that, you know, teachers and policemen and firemen should be paid more. We agree with that, Joe.
Yeah, there are more important jobs, but just for the way that it is with the TV contracts and the amount of money that they bring in, that's what these guys are getting paid. That's what they should be getting paid.
Well, I don't know, you go to that extreme of $300 million. Absolutely, they should be getting paid a lot of money.
I mean, not everybody's worth $300 million, but the top guys are. Maybe it's agree to disagree.
Look, and I'll even make it simpler, Joe. If they weren't worth it, they wouldn't get it.
No one
would get it if they couldn't justify paying it.
I know the money. I know it's like monopoly money, but I always defend the players in this regard, that everybody looks at it and they're like, oh, that's outrageous. Yeah, at first glance, it is outrageous. But you think about these professional sports leagues and how many jobs they create. You and I wouldn't have a job. Eamon and Lucy wouldn't have a job. All these people that cover the games wouldn't have a job. The parking lot attendants wouldn't have a job. The concessions, they wouldn't have a job. All these people, all these newspapers, the whole sports department wouldn't exist. Like all these TV channels wouldn't exist. Like, think about how much what they're doing for so many people that, yeah, they have the ability that they're that good where they can play on that level. And if the money keeps pouring in, then, yeah, the players deserve it more than I think the owners do.
We pointed out earlier, an hour or so ago, that Mark Wahlberg made $68 million in 2017.
For playing pretend. He played pretend in a Transformers movie, and he made, like, good for him. I'm not taking anything away from him.
A bad Transformers movie, too.
Maybe the worst Transformers movie, but good for him. Like,
and nobody's saying, he's not worth that.
No, it's the entertainment business, and it's funny that Bill James has the rant that he does. It's because those people, for the most part, aren't replaceable, right? Like, that's why The Rock gets so much money, because if you took The Rock out and put somebody else in, the movie wouldn't...
Put Dave Bautista in there. You're not going to make as much money.
He's on the rise,
though. Coming along.
But those guys, you're right. The people wouldn't pay to see him as much, and that should be the same case. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't bad contracts. Now, there are players that somehow fool teams or the agent does or whatever to giving them bad contracts, but that's fine. But certain guys that get paid the money, they assume that you're more likely to buy a ticket to see Mookie Betts play than you would be to see, you know, fill in the replacement to see.
Bob's in Connecticut. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I have a couple comments I'd like to make, and you guys can fill in afterwards.
All right.
But one is about the value of Bill James. I'm not necessarily a big Bill James fan, but on the other hand, before 2002, when was the last World Series they won? And since 2002,
I think it was 1918. It was forever ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Bill James had to do with that, but your point's valid. He was there.
Yeah, not only he was there, he was the difference. I think
he was the difference.
Well, yeah, because his metrics started bringing in the kind of people that they needed to win. Anyway, the second item I'm making is in terms of you say that the people won't watch second tier players,
right?
But if you go to a college campus Saturday afternoon, like Michigan State,
right?
You got 110,000 people watching second-tier players compared to the NFL.
Okay, and then take those bowl games, and when they play outside of Ann Arbor, how do they do?
Awful.
Oh, is he there? Okay, no.
It's just like
It wasn't him or his points.
It was the
because
of the
all
phone.
The college kids flock to the stadium. Like, what are you talking about?
Because what else is there to do in Ann Arbor on a Saturday afternoon? Study?
And that's not the best argument either. I mean, so those guys are all fired up about it. There are certain college towns that are just monsters, and they'll do it. But then when they go play in the Timbuktu Bowl, and it's in the middle of nowhere, do they flood it? No, it's empty. Nobody goes to see those games. Plus, you'd also mix in the NFL guys. Like, it's sort of the minor league in a way, obviously. Like, it's sort of their minor league, but it's not like... all scabs, right? Like, you're going to see Tom Brady play at Michigan. Not that you knew he was going to be that good. Or, like, Saquon Barkley. Like, you went to see Penn State last year. You saw Saquon Barkley play. So you're seeing this guy on his way up. I'm not using that. Like, the SEC and the Big Ten, that's the example of why, hey, you could just work with scab players.
What else you got is coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
You know, sometimes we get to this part of the program and we try to trot out parts of the program we like to call
What Else You Got?
But sometimes I give them to Keith off the air because they're better.
Do you, you're not going to use that
I
one?
I don't think I don't.
What else you got?
Exactly.
I'll start with this one.
Okay.
There was a funeral this morning in South Boston.
Oh, God.
A funeral for Whitey Bulger. The Boston Archdiocese confirmed that the Episcopal vicar for the Archdiocese Central Region said the Mass. He said at the request of and out of pastoral care for the Bulger family, the pastor offered a Mass today at St. Monica Church in Boston for James Bulger.
Okay.
Out of respect for the family and those who were hurt, it was a private service for just the immediate family.
I was curious what the attendance would be.
Well, it's funny.
The guy does his job. He must be the other guy.
It's funny you should say that because according to the Boston Globe, who was there, it was a private affair. The people who were at the funeral filled the first two rows of the church, and the rest of the church was empty.
Did Johnny Depp get an invite?
I don't know if Johnny was there.
That's too bad.
It could have been an opportunity for them.
Sure.
Whitey Bulger, of course, was killed in prison a week ago in West Virginia.
Did they end up cutting his tongue out of his head, or were they just tried to cut his tongue out of his head?
It seems like you've got to be committed to that, don't you? There is no try. There
it's
is only
a very
do.
Strong muscle in the body, and I think even at that age, it is very well attached. And so that guy went in there and he tried to get rid of it.
You know.
Yeah. Think about it. Like, cutting somebody's tongue off. Not like a chunk of it. Like the whole tongue.
You
wild.
You got to be serious.
Look, Lucy, you've thought about this?
It looks like they just tried to. I don't think they were successful.
They gave it a shot.
So looks like half cut
you
off.
Got pictures and stuff, Lucy,
yeah, you
got
to be committed there. You can't be like, I think I'm going to cut the tongue out. No, you got to want it. Get in there.
All right. Hit it again, yeah, Eamon.
Right. Okay.
What else you got?
Hey, so tonight, obviously, it's a big sports night. You got the Bruins in action at home. The Celtics trying to get their first win on the road trip. The Phoenix Suns aren't very good, but a couple of reasons to watch, Dale. One, the number one overall pick in the draft, DeAndre Ayton, plays for the Suns, and so does a nice little player named Devin Booker, who the last time the Celtics saw him...
dropped a 70-burger.
He scored 70 points! He scored 70! It's outrageous. So he's back at it again. He's averaging like 25 a game. DeAndre Ayton's averaging a double-double. It is a team that would make sense for them to trade for Terry Rozier, whether that happens down the road or not. But the Celtics really should win. I mean, they have some good, fun
young
players.
If they don't, they got issues?
I mean, it's still kind of early for that. Yeah, it's still a little early to go nuts, but this should be a win. The Suns are 2-8. Not very good. And let's see how many points Devin Booker can score on them.
All right, at the risk of... doing what I said.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Here's the headline for today. I gave you one yesterday that was, you have to admit, was pretty good. About the whole Dennis Hoff winning the election after
Dennis
he was
Hoff was
dead.
A good one. Yeah, that was a good one.
After his dead body was discovered by Ron Jeremy.
I remember that, yes.
Here's today's headline. Las Vegas, NBC affiliate sports director, accused of masturbating at bar slot machine at 8:30 a.m.
Oh,
says
no.
He was scratching a bad rash.
The old bad rash excuse. I've heard that one before.
What?
Yeah.
By the way,
it could have been both.
The mugshot looks exactly like you'd expect it to look like. My career just ended. Where did these people come from?
Vegas. Florida and Vegas.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow with Michael Irvin. We're going to see if we can get him sweating and stuff.
I don't know. That's going to be tough to do. We need a live audience behind him. That's what we need.
That's coming up tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you
for stopping by.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.